From John's gospel, we find these words written. Jesus is speaking, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me that he will make known unto you. God bless the reading of his word. We want to just share a few thoughts on guided by the Holy Spirit. Guided by the Holy Spirit. Father, help us to preach now what you've laid upon our heart. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we've had over the last few days to get some rest and Lord, just to enjoy the fellowship of men, encouraging one another. But I ask now that you bless the message, bless the sermon, Lord, that it might be touching, that it might move upon the hearts of these thy people to bring us close to thee. We love you and we thank you, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask it all. Amen. For those of you that are joining us online, we will be sharing the communion following the message. Be sharing that at the close of our service. So if you can prepare getting some grape juice and getting some crackers or whatever you do to celebrate the Lord's sacrifice of what he has given to us. He said, do this in remembrance of me. So I pray that you prepare yourself so that as we share in here, we might also share with you. Guided by the Holy Spirit, what does that mean for our lives? I think it means one thing. Spiritually, we don't know where we're going. You might be able to get your GPS and find out how to get from point A to point B in the natural world, but in the spiritual world, you and I cannot see those things that we need to see, and that's in the case, we cannot go where we need to go in life. Matter of fact, some people are still wondering, what is their purpose? The very fact that you were created by God says that you have a purpose for being on this earth. God makes nothing by accident. And this is troubling because a lot of people in this world, not knowing what they are doing and not knowing where they're going, they're trying to set their own agenda. They're trying to establish their own direction. And they're meeting with tragedy every time they attempt that. But that's why we depend on God. We don't just come to church because it's a routine, it's a ritual. We come to get direction. We come to know what is the mind of God. All of us have faced tribulation. We've faced situations in our life that we needed God to help us. And now we need him more than ever. One thing I'm learning as I get older, I need God more. I needed him before, but I didn't realize it. That's why we need to understand what it really means to be guided by the Holy Spirit. On last week, we shared with you what we call the spiritual dashboard. I don't want us to think that this is some magic tool. I don't want us to think that it's a replacement for God's word, because it's not. It's a tool to help us to mine God's word, to be able to go through certain things and to organize it, if you would, in some systematic way that we can better understand how do I apply what God wants me to apply to get to the place where God wants me to be. Everybody with me so far? So the spiritual dashboard says that you need to look at the threats. You need to find a way to deal with the threats in your life. And as I said before, you don't know what's ahead. So who are you going to call on? Your Lord. Your God. No one knows what's tomorrow or what happened or will happen on tomorrow, but we know that God is all powerful. But guess what? God has a plan for you. When Jesus introduced it to the disciples, He simply said, I will not leave you like orphans. I will not leave you without my presence guiding you. I'm going to be with you. And so he used the word in the Greek, I will send you a comforter, one called alongside. One who will be there in the ups and downs, one who will help you through every struggle of your life. And I tell people, it doesn't mean that God won't keep you from trouble, but he'll be with you in the trouble. Is that all right? Now, another thing that you need on your spiritual dashboard, you have to also not only try to see what's ahead in the Holy Spirit, he's going to tell you things to come. I'll apply that in just a minute. But you also need to have prayer. In these verses that we've read, Jesus said, I'm going to communicate with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to communicate with you. If anyone tells you that they're communicating with God without the Holy Spirit, they're lying. They're simply lying. There's no way that we can touch heaven without God's help. And that's why you have the Holy Spirit in your life, to help you. You can write down a prayer, and you can try to put it together, but you can't pray until the Holy Spirit lays it upon your heart. So what is he doing? He's bringing you what God wants you to know, but he's also taking from you what you want God to. How good is that? How cool is that? Lord, I don't mean to use the word cool, but that's cool. That's pretty cool. That's pretty nice. So if your prayer gauge is on zero, or it's moving in the direction where you don't pray, it's not God's fault. Your prayer gauge needs to be on full, because you got something that you need to tell God. Anybody need to tell God something? And on the other end, God's got something to tell you. He wants you to, I said I won't gonna preach too long and teach you. He wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know that he's made a way for you. He wants you to know that he is your provider, that he is your strength, because you're going to get weary in this life. You're going to get tired. You're going to want to throw up your hands and say, I just don't care. But before you do that, pray. Pray and watch the power of God come down. Pray and watch him give you that blessed assurance. You can be going through your darkest night, and the Lord will be right there to dry those tears from your eyes. Yes, because he loves you. So you got to pray. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to pray. You got to pray. But now, closely related to that is the fact that you got to practice. No need to tell the Lord, this is what I want you to do, and the Lord tells you, this is what I want you to do. You're not doing your part. You got to practice it. Sometimes what God tells you makes no earthly sense. I'll give you an illustration about that in just a little bit. Sometimes he's going to tell you, use your faith. And you just got to trust him. You got to know that where he's leading you to and where he is guiding you, that's the word for the day, guiding you. Where he's guiding you to is not only possible, but what you need to do, because God said you can do it, you need to put yourself there at that point of accomplishment. Many people have said to you, you will never be anything. They said you will never amount to anything. Back in the country, we would say they would call you no good. But God saw otherwise. God put it a different way. Yes, you're made out of clay, but you can become more than the clay that you're in. You can become what the master wants you to be. And that's the whole miracle of the thing. Taking weak folk like us and making us mighty. I don't know how he does it. Now, I tell people, I'm going to admit, I'm not everything that I want to be. But But thank God I'm not what I used to be. Oh, yeah, it's Holy Ghost time. That's why you've got to depend on Him. That's why you've got to depend on Him. And in that process, it's going to make your praise become greater. Your praise is going to be more meaningful. I'm going to apply all this in just a second, but I just want to take time to work through this because this is your spiritual dashboard. This word, this Bible, you will no longer read it just as a Bible, but the Holy Spirit will be talking to you. Every time you read a verse of things that God wants you to know and to reinforce in your life, the Holy Spirit's going to light it up. He's going to light it up. He's going to cause something in here to say, man, that's good. Let me read that again. What He is doing is deepening you in the Word so that you can become strong in the Lord. How many of y'all know you've got some opposition out here? You got some strong enemies. Your adversary, the devil, he ain't playing. He would eat you up if he could. But you got a lion in you that's greater than the lion that's coming against you. Man, I feel like preaching today. I feel it. So let's walk through this just a little bit. We're not going to take a lot of time, but we're going to walk through it. One of the things I learned that, and my wife, I think, you know, she's good at this. I'm not. Cute shoes and bad feet don't go together. Tony, I'm just saying. So I don't have a whole lot of time to preach, Reverend. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I got some pretty cute shoes on, but Lord have mercy, me and my feet fighting them. We having a fight up here. All right, back to the sermon. All right, so look at your threat indicator. Look at the threats. And I'm going to ask you simply, how many of you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Not a single one of us. How many of you have plans for tomorrow? Yeah. A plan's good? Yeah. But what if something happens to oppose and becomes a threat to your plan? Then what are you going to do? You can see the threat when it happens, but you cannot see it before it happens. Guess who sees it before it happens? As a matter of fact, God he's weaved it into your plan, into your life plan, and said, okay, this is going to happen at this point. And at that point, God has all the resources and everything that you need to get you through the problem, but you got to depend on Him. Got to depend on Him. Here's what it says. He will speak only what He hears and will tell you what is, look at the word, yet to come. I'm going to help some of y'all out because you've been trying to go to the fortune teller or you've been trying to read your zodiac sign of figuring out what's going to happen next. You're wasting your time. As a matter of fact, you're insulting God because He loves you so much. Even though you may have been born in a certain season of the year, you can wear the jewelry that says this is when I was born, but don't depend on it for leadership in your life. I tell people I used to be a Sagittarius, but now I'm a Jesus freak. I used to live under the, bow and arrow, but now I live with the sword of the Lord. Amen? Because when you know God, you don't have to depend on outside sources to guide you. You must depend strongly upon Him. He's going to know the threats. He's going to know the things that's coming ahead. So what you need to do, be in prayer so that you can know it. This is what it says. Second thing, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Here's the key word. He will direct your path. I'm going to give you a quiz question right now. The only answer is two, either yes or no. Has God ever failed you yet? Thank you, you passed the test. You passed the test. But now a lot of people misinterpret what God is doing because they're not praying. If you were praying, you'd know what He's doing. But if you're not praying, God can be guiding you And here you go along. You ever seen a two-year-old and you're trying to take them someplace and they got other things on their mind that they want to do? Even when they know they got to go to the bathroom, they can be doing like this. But isn't that cute? That's us. That's the way that we deal with situations because we get distracted. But with the Lord leading you and you praying, now you got better guidance in your life. Now you got better direction. Now you understand what the Lord is saying. And as I said earlier, he brings out this word. Every experience, everything that you have in life is going to be similar to what's happened to people in the Bible. This is a timeless jewel. This is a timeless jewel. When you get in this word, it'll tell you folk that made mistakes. Then they get back and say, man, I should have listened to God. Yeah, you should have. You should have taken it in because he told you. And what Jesus was saying, I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit so that he will guide you into all truth, but you got to be listening to the Spirit. You got to engage in prayer. Let me move to the next one, and then I'm going to give you a short illustration before we close. Then you practice. John 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, again, the word guide, he will guide you into all truth. You know how the word becomes void in a lot of people's lives? You know how it voids itself out? When you don't do it. Isn't that a good word? Didn't we hear a word from, or we heard a word from God today? It's not about hearing, ladies and gentlemen. It's about putting it into practice. If you do what he says, you will get to the place where he wants you to be. I call it God's improvement plan. Because when you were saved from sin, you still had some habits in your life that God had to break. He had to get you to the place where you were stronger than that. Can I be real with you? He had to get you strong enough to where you could walk past the ABC store without going in. He had to get you to the place where the shackles were broken off of you so that you weren't still doing the things that you used to do and grieving the Holy Spirit. I always pick on drinking because that's what I used to do. Couldn't drink a lot of it, but I drank what I drank, and it made me act like a fool. But thank God for salvation. Thank God for grace that has saved us. When you follow God, he actually has a plan for your life to bring you to a place where you can appreciate and say, God, I never knew could do that. How many of y'all ever heard the word promotion? It doesn't just happen in employment. It happens in the spirit realm where God begins to promote you. Stuff that used to mess you up long time ago, you can take it now. Do I have any witnesses? You're stronger now. You're braver now. You can face stuff now. And you're not afraid of what the doctor might say. You're not afraid of what the lawyer might say. You're not afraid of a situation that might come your way because you have been built up and made strong in God by the power of his might. That's making you like Christ. Because in the final analysis, he wants us to be like him. He's not just telling you this so you can look in the mirror and say, man, don't I look? No, it's not about you. It's about Christ and his image that he's perfecting in you. I feel like somebody getting in there. Let me hurry up before you go to sleep now. I got your attention, but I always tell people the best place to go to sleep is in church. And pray the devil out. Amen. Crazy stuff happened even in church, but we rebuke those demons in the name of Jesus. Isn't that right? So put it into practice. Then thirdly, as we look at the praise, praise is your response to what God is doing in your life. If you're not praising him, then you're showing you have an ungrateful heart. You do not respect him. You do not honor him. And you don't really recognize what God is doing because you're saying, I don't have any praise. Now, praise can be different for people. It can be different. One person might, you know, be kind of expressive. Another person less expressive. But now here's the thing you got to look at. If your favorite team starts winning and you jumping all up and down about that, then you better give God something better than that. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say. Amen. That's all I'm going to say about it. Yeah, yeah. You're going to praise your Dallas Cowboys more than you praise Jesus. Something's going to get messed up here. Tony, I ain't picking on you, man. I ain't even picking on you. But what I'm saying is God deserves the best of your praise. Because when you were down, he brought you out. When you were sick, he healed you. You might be still going through it with an issue in your life, but he's still walking with you. As a matter of fact, you can't even walk without him holding your hand. And every now and then, you ought to turn around and tell him, thank you, Lord. Thank you. As a matter of fact, let's take a little praise break and just thank God for what he's done. Thank God for what he's done. It ain't about making noise. It's about giving thanks. It's about recognizing that he is the Lord. And beside him, there's none other. That's what you have to do. Now, I've gone quickly through that dashboard, but I want to tell you something. Every day you get up, I was looking at my dashboard coming to church. One I was looking at was my speedometer. Because when I start zooming past Deacon Pleasant, I said, uh-oh. Next thing I looked for was the blue light, if the blue light's going to come on. But thank God, you got to watch your dashboard every day. It'll help you when sin is approaching your life. You're not in the place where you can say, well, I never sin. You're still alive, right? You still got a heartbeat? Oh, yeah, you can do some wrong. Well, I'm too old to sin. You ain't too old to think about it. Anybody in the building? Come on, y'all be real now. Let me just quickly tie this together and show you how it works, and then I'm going to make one application. When you were born in this world, you were born under the responsibility of parents. Very few of us in this room, except for the youngsters, can say that they still have parents guiding them. That was your source of leadership. That's where you learn how to go through life. And you youngsters now appreciate your parents. Appreciate them. Respect them. Love them. Because without them, you think about it, your life would be very, very hard. Some did have to grow up without parents, but you never had to grow up without God. Never. So what does the Spirit do? In summary, the Spirit is guiding us. And I like the way in the Greek that it uses language in what we call the present, and yet it is progressive. Okay? It's never in the past, but it's right now, but it's still happening. It's continuing. The Holy Spirit may have done some mighty things in your life yesterday, but he's still in your life today working things out. And as a matter of fact, he's improving on what he's already done. Remember, God loves a perfect work. He doesn't want halfway stuff. So don't wiggle wobble on God. Don't just say, well, he's guiding me and you walking any kind of way. Don't do that. Everybody say, he's guiding me. The second thing is the Spirit of God is speaking to us. Yes, he speaks to us through the word on Sunday morning, but the Holy Spirit now is in you. He speaks to you. He tells you, Doris, I got this. He tells you that I've got this in your life. Miss Calvin, he's telling you, I'm leading you. And you got to listen. You got to listen to him. Third thing he does, the Spirit of God is glorifying Christ in you. He's glorifying Christ in you. And a lot of times it's bad circumstances. Bad circumstances. But yet when you see the glory of God, we saw something last week in honoring Deacon Knight and honoring him. We never knew that about. We knew him for ourselves, but we never knew from other people's perspective how he had blessed so many. And we thank God for it. Christ was glorified. That's our whole goal in life, is to glorify and honor the Lord. And Sister Knight, we appreciate that man, and we appreciate you. Amen. Amen. Then fourthly, the Spirit of God is informing us of everything that God has made available
to us. That's another sermon for another time. It's another sermon for another time. Here's the reason why. A lot of us are trying to make our own living rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to live in us. You're trying to dig up your own stuff, scramble and make your way through life. Number one, you don't know what your capacity is. You don't know. And what God does, He says to you, I know where the resources are. I know what you need to do. I know where you need to go in life. You got to listen to me, and I'm going to take you there. He said He will guide us into all truth. This world is filled with lies. And you will be led astray every time listening to the news, listening to, and whatever perspective of the news, all of them wrong. There's only one that's right, and that's God. Are y'all still here? So I help y'all out today, amen? When you start listening to Him and allowing Him to develop you, to next thing you know, here comes promotion. Next thing you know, here comes a place of peace. Next thing you know, even though you're going through a time of war and turmoil, God gives you such confidence in your life that you said, you know what? God has brought me this far. I'm going to trust Him to lead me all the way. That's because how awesome and great He is. I want to close with giving you this scenario. Going through this again. One more time. Here's how it works. 16-year-old boy showed up at the army camp. Wasn't a part of the troops. His father just sent him down there to figure out what was going on, take some gifts to his sons, and bring him word back how they were doing. But when this young man got out to the battlefield, he saw a giant that was insulting the people of Israel. And so he started, what's going on? Why hasn't somebody gotten up and fought against this giant? Why is he doing that to us, God's people, and to our God? And he asked the question, is there not a cause? Number one, David saw the threat. He saw the threat, but he knew it wasn't a threat because he knew that God was greater than the threat, that God could make a way out of no way. And even though, yes, there was a 9-foot giant standing there with spear, and he had all of the training and everything he needed, but then he looked at God and said, no, my God's greater than him. If you look at your threat as something that can destroy you, you are not looking at God. Look past the problem. Look past the need. I didn't say that the giant didn't exist, but there was somebody bigger than the giant. Say it with me. Somebody bigger than you and I. All right, so how do you deal with the threat? The next thing David started doing, while he was talking to the people, he was also talking with God and asked God, Lord, can we do it? Not can I do it, can we do it? Because without God, you will never do anything but fail. How many of y'all been there, done that, got the t-shirt? People ask me sometimes, doesn't certain things humiliate you? I said, no, because I've been humble. Every time I try to get up on my own, the Lord pushed me back down. But I tell you what, you can't fall when you're on your knees. Y'all not going to listen to me today. So David is also talking with God, or matter of fact, God's talking to him and said, David, you got it in you. You got the anointing of God. So he goes around and asks a few more people, hey, you know, what's going on? And then the king said, well, we're going to give a reward for anybody to stand. You know, if you stand up and fight this giant, you defeat him, I'm going to, you know, give you my daughter and make your family free from all taxes. He said, I ain't worried about that. I got somebody bigger. And I got a greater reward than just the king stuff. I got God stuff. Child of God, let me tell you something. You can run broke or get broke from anything else in this world, but you will never run out of the resources of God. How many of y'all been there? Down to your last $2. But your last $2 made a way until the Lord gave you something else. Better yet, you spent your last $2, but only to find out that God had something in your mailbox that told you, I will provide. Lord, Lord have mercy, I wish I could preach like I feel today. But here's what you got to do. You can't just, I know the threat. You can't just say, I prayed about it. Get up. Everybody said, get up. Get up. You got to do it. David said, if ain't nobody else going to fight him, I'm going to fight it. Now here comes the struggle. Because other folk want to give you their method for fighting the giant when the Lord's already told you what to do. I wish I had time to preach it today. So David goes out there, and the thing they said, well, Saul says, let me give you my armor. Let me just put you in this armor. Let me just dress you up. Because you don't look like a soldier. You look like a shepherd boy. You still got your shepherd garments on. Let me put some armor on you. They put the stuff on him. And the Bible said he essayed to go. He tried to go. Said, no, I can't. I got to get out of this. Don't let other folks put you into their mold. Well, if you were a child of God, you would take it this way. Or you would do it this way. Can I tell you what they said in the country? I ain't steadin' about you. I'm gonna listen to God, and I'm gonna follow his instruction. I ain't steadin' about you. So when he got rid of the baggage, when he got rid of all the expectations of other people, and he put on him some Jesus, when he stood in what God gave him. The Bible said he took that bag that he had where he kept those stones in, and he went down to the brook, and he got his slingshot out, took him 5 smooth stones. You know why? Because Goliath had 4 other brothers. If they try to come say, big bro, I got something for them too. And here's the thing about it. In the movie, they had David trying to dance around and to avoid the giant. But in the scripture, it says he ran to him. When you got Jesus, you can run to your problem. You can run to your... We need some runners in here. We need some folk that will get up and run. We need some folk that will understand God didn't bring me this far to leave me now. David ran to him. And he said, you come against me with your sword and with your spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of the camps of Israel. And what you got to do, you got to wind it up. You got to start praising God. You got to start thanking him. And then release your stone. Release that stone and let the devil know you ain't playing. Oh, I like this. All David could do was throw the stone. He had no control. What do you call it? Trajectory. He had no control. I ain't gonna say it again. He had no control over which way the stone went. But when he released the stone through practice, God grabbed that rock. The rock grabbed the rock. And the rock landed right between the eyes of the enemy. The devil, he might play with you. He might taunt you. But when you release your faith, when we release your power, when you release it in the name of Jesus, God takes what you have thrown out and will nail your enemy. I got one more thing I want to say. Just in case somebody thinks that that wouldn't do it, when the giant went down, David said, no, I ain't gonna take no chances. Didn't have a sword. Man, where my sword at? He didn't have a sword in his hand. Took his own sword, the enemy's own sword, and cut off his head. And now he ain't gonna mess with me no more. This is an application to some folk. You like to knock your giants down, but you don't like to slay them. You don't like, well, I'm going to keep that little sin around for a little while. You know, it ain't so bad. You better cut his head off. You better get rid of him. That's enough on me. I got to go. I got to sit down. We got to serve communion. But one other thing happened. You better believe David did not leave that atmosphere of that battle without giving God thanks. I don't know which one of the Psalms he praised him in. He's got a whole bunch of them in the Psalms. But he gave him thanks. One of the Psalms, he said, Lord, thank you for helping me overcome my enemy. Then he said, Lord, thank you that you're my battle axe. Thank you, Lord, that you're my shield. Thank you, Lord, that you're my shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you're my light. Thank you, Lord, that you're my hope. However you need to praise God, however you need to thank God, open your mouth and say, Lord, you did it. You did it. You brought me through. You kept me. You blessed me. You helped me. You didn't let me fail. And God will continue to work in your life. God bless you. I'm finished. But I could wind back up and start preaching again. Because it's just that good, Mel. Just that good. Lord, we thank you for blessing us. Thank you for teaching us that we've got threats in our life. But if we pray and pray right, the threat is no threat because you give us insight. And then we need to put it in practice. Accomplish what you called us to do. And then, Father, to give you praise, to show our gratitude and our love for the amazing things that you've done. Father, we're so grateful. Bless someone today that perhaps listened to this sermon and they're going in the middle of their battle. Let them know that they still have hope because they've got you. If someone is not saved today, reach out and save them, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise. We're going to give you all the glory and all the honor. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. And all the people of God said amen. Real quickly, we're going to give the altar call. If there's someone, if you're lost and you know that you need God to help you, maybe you're going through a situation and you just need him to give you strength, he'll do it. So very quickly, we're going to give the altar call. If there be one. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And may heaven smile upon you. We're going to go ahead and take our communion, and then we're going to have the offering. I know some might be saying, is that in order? Rufus taught us something the other day. He said, I want to be buried early in the morning. And folks look out here early in the morning, because when you're living for God, the Lord will direct your path. If there's anyone that needs a communion set, just give us, raise your hand and we can serve you. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the Bible said he took bread and he blessed it. It wasn't just the Passover bread, but it was the bread of where now he had sanctified it for a different purpose. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Then after they'd eaten the bread, he gave them the cup also. And that cup had been shared by the Jews for years in celebration of the Passover, coming out of Egypt, coming out of bondage. But Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Take this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show my suffering until I come again. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the ways that we praise God is by receiving these sacraments. This is not a church ritual. This is what Jesus said, do in remembrance of me. And I pray that God would strengthen all of us today with his grace. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the sacraments. Thank you for what Christ has done. He's the champion in us, and he wants us to be like him. As we receive this today, may we be renewed in our strength and also in our determination to live for your glory.
In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take the bread. Let us eat together. And now let us take the cup. Let us drink together. Amen. Father, we glorify you again for this amazing love. Bless now in the furtherance of this service that it might honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless.